you know, is frustrating about as a coach is we ran our half court spread offense just about as good the first 8 minutes against Penn State and got whatever we wanted, and we had, I think we had seven possessions that were under 10 seconds, and the defense broke down. And getting our guys to understand that that's okay to do, that's what we want to do. And, you know, it becomes like football, time of possession. You know, I asked our guys, how many of you like playing offense? They all raised their hand. I said, well, then why do we shoot it so quick? You know, when it's not in the first 7 seconds of the clock and we're in transition, we have numbers. And that's something that we've spent a lot of time on. We have to continue to play with pace, play with tempo. As one of the habits we have is when things don't go well, we move like we've got cement boots on.
And good evening. 48 degrees at 5:11. Brad Underwood previewing tonight's game against the Indiana Hoosiers. Offensive struggles. You heard the end there, like cement, and our feet are in cement. Never a good sign. I'm Michael Kaiser in for Scott Beatty tonight. A little bit under the weather. He'll return next week. He's going to be on a baseball trip this weekend, so I'll be with you through the rest of the week. Also in the room tonight, on a different night for himself as well, is Lauren Tate. And so don't adjust the time on your phone. Don't adjust the day of the week. Lauren and I are here on a Wednesday night.
This makes two Wednesdays for me.
Yeah, two Wednesdays for you.
How
yeah.
about that?
Yeah, so Lauren's always here every Tuesday. You're here every Tuesday, and you're here every Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm only here on Saturdays.
Every Monday.
Yeah, Monday morning, too. Yeah, so you're here every night. I guess I'm the only one out of place. I'm the only one that's out of place tonight. So you can join us tonight, 356-9397. Text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. Podcasts of this show and others on our website, wdws.com, and on iTunes. Well, Lauren, this has been rehashed for several days now. This is about three days ago. But Brad, just the cement, your feet are in cement, and he's just can't figure this out. Why these guys?
Gravity bound.
Yeah, he can't figure out why some points of the game they could do what he wants them to do on the offensive end, and other points he just can't figure it out.
I figured it out a long time ago.
I know you did.
You know what I always tell you?
Why are you not on the staff?
Lenny Murillo went 4-for-4 once. He was a 200 hitter. Every bad player has a good moment.
They do. They
doesn't
do.
Mean that there's that doesn't mean he's a good hitter. Doesn't mean they're, you know, just because you bring up, well, they have spurts. Well, everybody has spurts.
Sure.
I mean, the worst baseball team in the world wins a game.
They do.
Well, what does that mean? I mean, consistency is the whole thing. Playing a half doesn't mean anything. You know that. I mean, we're seeing it, whether it's the first half, second half. You got to play 40 minutes.
Yeah, you can't score 16 points at home. I realize Penn State's a really good team. Comparatively what they've been in the past, they're 8-6 in the Big Ten. But you got to score more than 16 points at home in the second half, and that's not going to get it done. It obviously won't get it done tonight against Indiana, who's had an up-and-down season so far. Jawan Morgan, though, has not had an up-and-down season. He's been up.
When they get the ball to him on the post, he's just good for two.
Yeah.
Or three if he gets fouled. And, you know, I the one thing I remember about the last Indiana game, and you know where we sit – we can't see below the player's waist, so we don't really know what happened. I had to look later. That pass to him hit him in the shin. The pass was, I mean, if they get the ball to him and Illinois leading by two, he probably scores, and then we probably go into overtime. How's Illinois done in overtime?
Let's not go there. Not very good. And here's the thing, though. If you watch that replay again, not only would he might have scored, but if he just would have moved completely out of the way and they would have thrown to the guy in the corner who was wide open, which I believe was Robert Johnson, if I remember correctly, we know how that's going to go. That three's going in. And I mean, he was wide open on the left wing or toward the corner. And but they didn't see him, and they threw it to Robert Johnson because they wanted to get the layup to tie it, obviously.
That would always be the goal if I was at Indiana. My goal would be to get the ball to the post, and I find that so interesting that they would have another center after Bryant left them in the wake. I didn't know they had a center last year. Did you know that Morgan would be this good this season?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I wasn't expecting
Bryant
this.
Played center the last several years and was a dominant force in there, and yet he's not as good. correct me if I'm wrong, he's not as good a player as Morgan. Morgan's a better player than Bryant was.
Oh, yeah, last year especially. I think Thomas Bryant kind of had
receded.
Yeah, he did recede. He had a step back last season. And
then turned pro. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I think he got some bad advice because clearly he did not play well last season. He would have been better off to go after his freshman season because he played better his freshman season and maybe could have some better results there. But Juwan Morgan, 28 points and 9 rebounds in the last matchup. Robert Johnson, 8 points. Zach McRoberts, 10. Those are your three highest scorers. Devontae Green also had 8 against the Illini. So you're not going to slow down Juwan Morgan. A defense, interior post defense has been a problem all season. It's not going to get any better tonight. Michael Finke had the one game against Missouri going against a freshman and Jeremiah Tillman and others inside, where they had good interior defense in that game. But Missouri also shot a lot of threes in that game.
Mm-hmm. And Tillman has turned out to be a pretty good rebounder and a fair defensive guy that fouls an awful lot and is not very effective offensively. I think he shoots a decent percentage, a high percentage, but he doesn't get many shots and he doesn't seem to be a part of their offense consistently. I'm interested in how he's evolved because he hasn't been near the force I thought he would.
No, and I didn't think he'd score a lot. I didn't think he'd score.
I thought maybe he'd score 10, 12 points a game. Maybe he's averaging 8 or 10. I don't know.
Well, we could look that up, of course. But I thought he'd probably score 6, 7 points a game and have probably about the same in rebounds. I figured it would take him a little bit to adjust.
His points per minute aren't near as bad as his minutes. He fouls out consistently.
Yeah, he's not staying on the floor long enough. And Illinois had a player like that his freshman season, LaRon Black, who could never stay on the floor.
Yeah.
And of late, he started to get in more foul trouble. LaRon has, and he's got to be on the floor all the time. I mean, he and Trent.
By the way, Finke did not make the trip.
Yeah, he did not make the trip.
And there's a rumor out, there's a report out, that Damonte Williams is not 100%. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, that's not having Finke, LaRon Black talk about it in the last game, not having him out there. Like, he kind of talks on the floor and kind of tells them where they're supposed to be, and LaRon said they missed him in the last game. But you want to see what happens. I just pulled up, as you were talking there, I pulled up Jeremiah Tillman's stats. The last game, he had 14 points and 3 mm-hmm. rebounds in 28 minutes of action.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
he
better.
And only had 3 fouls. Mm-hmm. So that was better.
If he can hold the fouls down, he's pretty productive. I mean, reasonably, he's not their go-to guy. Robertson is their go-to guy. He's getting their points.
Yeah.
But Tillman holds his own, basically holds his own in the post when he's not in foul trouble.
Hit averaging 8.3 points a game and 4 rebounds a game. I think that's a solid freshman season. With the foul troubles, if he could stay on the floor more, those numbers would be better. So you probably most likely would have been right, averaging about 10, 12 points a game if he'd been on the floor more.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, I'm back to Illinois. They played Indiana tonight, Fighting Illini game day. The Rudy Wealth Management pregame show gets underway at 6 o'clock tonight. 7:30 tip, kind of one of those in-between tips. Tonight over in Bloomington, Indiana at the Assembly Hall over there. Brian Barnhart and Deion Thomas will be on the call tonight as Illinois tries to get its first true road win of the season. I think first road win of any kind this year outside of the neutral site win with Missouri. Going completely off the top of my head here. I don't think they have any other wins away from State Farm Center this season.
No, I don't think so.
No. And that's I mean, obviously the season has gone well. Illinois 12-14 on the year. So that's to be expected. Last season at IU to start the game, 15-0. Brian Barnhart talked about that this morning.
There is an aura in Indiana when you play basketball there. There is a feeling that you are really up against it. And I don't think that Lon Kruger ever lost over there. I don't know. He probably did, but I don't remember. But I know he played some of his greatest basketball games over there. And he was always able to shake off that whatever that aura is, the noise and the excitement and the demand that they win that you have there it's greater than at most schools.
Yeah.
The demand is. You can feel it.
At Indiana is one for sure that I just go in, no matter what the two teams look like. I remember when Tom Crean, early in his tenure there, they were pretty bad, and they got that big win, and he's hugging his wife in the stands before he goes to the handshake line. Because that was a huge win for them, even though Illinois was – okay, they were ranked around the top. I think they were in the top 25 at that point, I believe. And that was a huge win. They were really down then. But even then, that kind of game, I was like, I don't know if Illinois could win over there. I mean, even when Indiana wasn't any good, I'm like, I don't think Illinois is going to win over there. It's just been that way.
It's a big home court advantage.
It is.
More than most.
You've been in a lot of games over there. I only have walked into the building on a football Saturday. I've never actually been to a game over there. It's so steep with a.
It really is.
Man, it's.
They're right on top of you.
Yeah, and
if you walk up to the top, you feel like you're going to fall off.
I was at the top looking down at the floor.
Isn't that an eerie feeling?
It is. I had to step away.
It's like you're on a mountain.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little scared of heights, and I had to step away.
That's right, me too.
I'm like, nope, you know what? I've seen enough of this historic building. I'm going to go back outside where I'm on complete ground, and I can't tumble down the stairs. Again, give us a call, 356-9397. Text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 351-5357. The Illini trying to get back in the win column, get their third Big Ten win in conference play here this season. It's going to be a tough battle against the Indiana Hoosiers. We'll take a timeout. We're going to come back. Kedrick Prince of Illinois Rivals, our good friend, always good to chat with him. He is going to come on with us. We're going to see what he thinks about tonight's game, recruiting, which really, Lauren, I think is the conversation at this point. The roster next season, recruiting, the main targets, because anything else at this point doesn't really matter.
No, I think that's right, except the big problem we've got is we don't really know what's going to happen. We know that he's got a lot of scholarships out, mm-hmm. and I don't know, if he hits, then he could bring in four or five people. I mean, if he could hit on everybody he wants.
Yeah. And
but that doesn't usually happen.
I would say one of the bigger targets right now is Courtney Ramey down in St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
Webster Groves. Yeah. And I 6 or 8 months ago, I had stopped thinking about him a long time ago, but then he decommitted from Louisville for mm-hmm. obvious reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to see him tomorrow night.
Yeah, and so, yeah, we'll get to Saturday morning. We'll have a good chat with about him on Saturday morning. So
get a good look at him.
All right, stay with us. Kedrick Prince coming up next. This is Saturday Sports Talk on a Wednesday.
It's amazing how leadership becomes contagious. And one guy just trying to will his team. 33 did that today for them. And it doesn't matter who – Kata Bates does it for Ohio State. You can go right on down the list, and you have to have it. And Scott, that's what I'm fighting every day to try to identify. I put my heart and soul into trying to help lead them and be passionate for them. But I also can't want it more than they do.
Brad Underwood, after the loss to Penn State the other night, just concerns. He's talked about this all season, that he's wanted it more than the players have at times. That's not a recipe for success, obviously. You don't need to hear a coach say that. If the coach wants it more than the players, is more passionate than the players, it's going to be tough to have some success. Now joining us from Illinois Rivals, orangeandbluenews.com, Kedrick Prince, recruiting analyst. Recruiting is the word. Kedrick, good evening. How you feeling, sir? You all right?
I'm trying to hang in there, man. I'm a bit under the weather, a little bit traveling too much probably.
Yeah, that 3-hour drive, how is that driving home after that Penn State game the other night? How was that, I should say?
You know what? Here's my motivation. When I leave the press conference, I figure I can listen to the post-game radio show, which mm-hmm. I listen to every time.
By the
time I get to close to Peoria, then that's when I get tired. I start wearing down. It's a long drive. It's really tough for me. And those 8 o'clock games are not nice at all.
No.
Not a fan.
Let's get a petition. No more 8 o'clock games ever. All
well, I think Tupper was one reported. I think, was there only one Big Ten Saturday game in Champaign this year? Was it only one?
There were no Saturday games here. There was one in Michigan in conference play.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
I think I have that right. And I don't think there were any home Saturday conference games. There were home Saturday games, like Grand Canyon, for instance.
Four Sundays in February.
Yeah, that's
four Sunday games.
Yeah, that's
and that's rough. You got people coming from Chicago and people work the next day and they're late games. I mean, this one was 6 o'clock and I still got home at 12. I mean, there was one game. It was an 8 o'clock game. I remember on a Sunday. I got home at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. Can't do that anymore. I'm not 15.
None of us are. Lauren acts like he's 15 sometimes, though.
I do.
We'll stay away from that conversation. Well, walking away from that game the other night, Kedrick, the second half, obviously a big concern. But the game to me completely changed, and it wasn't over at that point, but the last 20 seconds, maybe even 15 to 10 seconds of the first half is where that game completely changed. Momentum, it's halftime, players go sit down. I don't know if momentum actually carries over to the second half or not, but Illinois was a totally different team when Penn State scored the last 5 points of the first half, and the game was never the same after that. That was my biggest takeaway from the game. What was yours?
I have to agree, because you know, when you watch the games, which we all do, you know at some point in time there's going to be a bad pass, step over the baseline. I mean, just something. It's happened all year, and that was it. I mean, I don't want to say it changed the game, but you can't score 16 points in a Division I college basketball game and win. You can't go on 11-minute scoring droughts and win. It's just not going to happen. And you know at some point in time that they're going to self-destruct. And it's sad, but it's happened all year long. I mean, there's no answers for it. I don't understand it, other than the fact that they need players. And, you know, we can sugarcoat this, and I'm done sugarcoating it. Mm-hmm. They need players.
Absolutely.
They need players, and people can sit and write, and we can say whatever we want. And, you know, I heard Lauren yesterday, he's right. You know, coaches have to give coaches speak. Brad Underwood's frustrated for tons of different reasons. This roster probably will look a lot different next year.
Well, what do you hear in that regard as far as any recruits are concerned? And if Trice is interested in coming and they've offered him, why hasn't that come out?
You know what's funny? I'm sitting there at the game Sunday with you guys, and I get a tip that if they offer him that night, he's going to commit. I just left press roll table, and I went and asked the kid. I'm like, hey, you know what? Here's the deal. I mean, what's the situation? And he's like, I really liked him. This is my home state. I want to be a part of it. And I said, so tell me, if they offer, are you going to commit? And he smiled, and his dad smiled, and whoever those people were with him. So I go away, and I come back, and then what I tweeted, he retweeted. He's in the stands cheering, you know, during the games. I talked to the coaches and said, hey, you know what? This guy's really interested in coming. He wants to be a part of your staff, of the team. But I think he was so excited, his coaches told him, don't just rush to make a decision right away.
Okay.
Because I would be very surprised if that kid did not end up. I mean, I've mentioned this before. Very few kids will text me first. I mean, he texted me yesterday and asked me if I was coming to watch him play tonight.
Mm.
I mean, he really did. So,
is he playing tonight?
That's what I'm assuming so, because he asked me. I'm almost for sure because my daughter's playing against them tonight. So I think so. And for me, it's 5.5 hours, so I wouldn't make it. But I'm going to go see him play. Especially if he commits. Again, I've seen him play before. He's the type of kid. He's not a great shooter. And I know Illinois needs shooters, which we'll talk about in a second. But he is an athlete that Illinois doesn't have on that roster. They just don't. He can go get rebounds. He can defend. And, you know, Illinois has finesse players to me, some of them. I mean, if the ball's anywhere around the rim, he's going to go get it. Those are Brad Underwood type players. And unfortunately, and this is no knock against the kids that are on that roster right now, they don't have mentally tough kids. Not enough of them.
You see anybody else that might be leaning this way, or that the coaches think they're going to get?
You know, I heard today, and I'm going to tell you, we all have people who they really want. But if there was one kid that I think that I know, if I had a wish that they could get, and I was told today, it's probably like 60-40 now, is Courtney Ramey.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's what I mean, Courtney Ramey. The knock was, Iowa wants the ball in his hands. I get that. Trent's great with the ball in his hands. Well, so is Courtney Ramey. And so there's only one basketball. But in the grand scheme of things, looking at all three of those guys, they will all be better if Courtney had the basketball in his hands. And to me, you get a kid like that, I know they need size, but that kid's a difference maker. And I'm telling you, they are recruiting him hard, not average. They're going after him hard.
I heard Underwood's going to be down there in St. Louis tomorrow.
Lauren, I'm going to tell you, you know as well as I do, he's frustrated. And he said it at the press conference the other night, and he's right. You know, every team in the Big Ten has professional players on. They have pros all up and down the conference. And you look at a guy like Io, it's not going to happen for him next year. It's not going to happen to Courtney. But potentially, those kids can do it. You're going to have three guards if Courtney commits. that can create their own shot, that can get shots, that can shoot a little bit. He's improved his shot. But obviously Trent can shoot it, and obviously Courtney. So that changes the look of the team. So I think they got a good shot at him, because I know that they're really, really pursuing him really hard. You know, then you got this Blake Henson kid, you know, who wants to be classified. He's a 6'7", he's a 4-star kid, you know. So if they could get him, you know, which will look good, because I know right now they have 3 scholarships, but I think there's going to be some movement. And that's why I said there's probably going to be about 4 or 5 scholarships open, because I don't see all the kids staying. I just don't.
Yeah, we don't want to. Kedrick Prince of Illinois Rivals joining us on Sports Talk here on a Wednesday. Lauren Tate and Michael Kaiser with you. We don't want to get into names and guessing who's going to stay and who's going to go. I mean, that's obvious. That's just roster attrition at every team across the country. The transfer is 600, 700, 800 transfers a year, and if a new rule gets put in place that allows kids to transfer if a coach gets fired or leaves.
By the way, did you see where they were even considering allowing people to move if your grade point is a certain average?
Yeah, that's
the newest thing I just heard today.
Well, that's if the coach is still there and you want to transfer immediately.
Yeah,
the conversation is allowing you to, if your GPA is so high.
That one is
further behind one of the coach leaves. That one I think will be more difficult to get approved. What do you think, Kedrick?
You know what? I can see that being tough to happen, but it could be great for programs. It could be bad for programs. I've talked to a number of high school coaches, and they were saying that they think it's going to be a nightmare. Any kid can get mad at you for any number of reasons. Mm-hmm. Maybe the kid didn't pan out. Illinois has kids in their rosters right now that they've not had great years, and maybe they'll be good in 2 or 3 years. So now they just get to just leave. That's not okay, because you put your time in and trying to develop these kids, and they leave, and then for whatever reason, and sometimes it's not even the kids, it's their parents. I mean, people don't understand. Just because this is college basketball and we watch it on TV, they think that they don't have issues and problems. And they have them. Michigan, they have them. Minnesota, Illinois, Iowa, Ohio State, there's issues. I mean, you know, look at Ohio State roster. Can you imagine if every kid was upset and they wanted to leave? I don't think that's good for college basketball, personally. I really don't.
Kedrick, the word, we would use this word a lot with fans, and I'm going to use it here that's not related to fans, the word patience. And with young kids and with parents, patience just isn't there. They want instant gratification. They want their kid to start. They want their kid to play a certain position. And when that doesn't happen, they want to leave. And
I don't see any patience among coaches. They look to me like they want to win every game, and they go after it hard.
They do, and they should. They should go after it every game, and they should want to win. But in terms of like a freshman who leaves after his freshman year because he didn't play as much as he wanted to play, well, if you're not playing well and you're not doing what the coach wants you to do, why are you going to play a lot?
Exactly.
I don't understand that.
I don't understand me either. And I'll tell you what's weird. Ron, you're right. They really – coaches coach hard. When we're sitting at press row, you can hear certain things. For an example, and this is not a knock on Tijon Lucas. It isn't. But every game I've gone to, the opposing coaches, I can hear them because I sit more in the middle. You guys are to the right. They're telling them, get off, back off. Every time Trent gets the basketball, hot hand, left hand. Reason I'm saying that, the scouting is so good at the Big Ten level. It's unbelievable because they know they have to win. I mean, you have to be able to do that. And so,
yeah, they were backing off Williams, too, Williams and Lucas.
Yes, exactly. And it's not that it's a bad thing. It's good coaching. And you, Brad Underwood, said it the best, and we can all overanalyze this. This game comes down to one thing, putting the ball in the basket, and they can't do it. Unfortunately, they just can't do it. I looked up some stats the other day, and I looked at the 3-point field goal percentage of 4 or 5 of those kids. I actually wrote it in tomorrow's paper. I think people are going to be surprised. I mean, one kid's shooting like 17% from 3. How can you win games shooting like that? You can't.
No. The 3-point shooting has been a season-long struggle, and along with way too many fouls and then too many missed free throws down the stretch. You mentioned Tijon. You see, every once in a while, you know, he has the motivation to get to the rim and get to the basket. That ability is there. We saw it possession after possession after possession against Northwestern. Obviously, the last one didn't work out, and he got the shot blocked. But he got to the rim several times in that game. And these are against Big Ten teams, and he's able to do it, but he doesn't do it often enough. And why do you think that is? I feel like if he's on the floor and he's doing that, and we got Trent Frazier playing in the off guard spot, and Tijon's driving to the rim, there's so many things there that could happen, and they could really gel and play well together if Tijon would be more assertive on the offensive end and going to the basket.
What I look at, for me, I look at it a little differently. I look at a great Brad Underwood's offense, because if you could have a guard that could get to the rim like Tijon and shoot it like that, along with Trent, I mean, you know, it would look great. I just don't know if Tijon's ever been that kind of scorer. People classify him, and, you know, social media rumors, he's a little bit bigger version of Jalen Tate because people don't guard him. He can get to the rim. He's not a good free throw shooter. I know when he walks up to the lines, people cringe. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. Because when he was in high school, I went to watch him play in high school. I went to his open gym. He wasn't a horrible shooter. He doesn't look to shoot the basketball. They are a different team when he's aggressive. And I don't know if it's, you know, the Northwestern game, you know, the Missouri game. I just don't know if those games kind of taking his toll, where it's a mental thing. He doesn't want to be the guy to lose the game, which is why I love Trent. Trent doesn't care. He is the one kid on that team. If he makes 50 shots, if he misses 50 shots, he has amnesia. And I don't think Tijon has that mentality. I think, you know, he's not cost them games, but he's made some crucial mistakes late. And that's the difference between him and Trent, to me, mentally.
Yeah, and I think Tijon missing those free throws the other night, it was painful to watch when he stepped to the line a couple different times. And I just had no confidence in going. It was 0-3 from the free throw line. And
well, the Ohio State game, he did the same thing. Remember the Ohio State game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he missed the free throws. And then, you know, I think Austin missed free throws. It's like, you don't – and he's a point guard. I mean, that can't happen.
Nope. Kedrick, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it. We'll be watching the rest of the season, which is going to for sure 6 games, 5 regular season games, and 1 Big Ten tournament game. We'll see what happens there. They can maybe have some magic and reach Friday, but you know, we'll see what happens there. But we'll watch the end and then watch the recruiting thing, which is the number one thing right now. What's this roster going to look like at about 6 months from now? I think that's the question fans are most interested in having answered. And maybe you can answer that for us soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Yep. Appreciate it.
Yep. That's Kedrick Prince of Illinois Rivals. Give him a follow on Twitter at KedPrince4. Writes for OrangeandBlueNews.com. Also a writer dispatch for a Quincy newspaper up there. Take a timeout, and we're going to switch over to Illini Women's Golf. Having a great season so far. Got a fundraiser Sunday afternoon after Illini Basketball. So stay with us. Illini Women's Golf Coach Renee Sloan. That's up next here on DWS.
Hi, it's Dave Gentry. Join us on the DWS Morning Show for the News Gazette's Tom Kasich. That's Thursday morning here on DWS.
Welcome back to Sports Talk on a Wednesday. I'm Michael Kaiser alongside Lauren Tate. Plenty of Illini basketball conversation early in the show. The Illini men's basketball game, 7:30 tonight over in Bloomington, Indiana at the Assembly Hall. The Hoosiers and the Illini. The Hoosiers trying to avenge an early season loss to the Illini here in Champaign. We're now going to talk some golf, some Illini golf, and not the team you think we're going to talk about. Illini men's golf gets plenty of attention for good reason, but the women's team having a good season here in 2018 as well. Joining us now in studio, the women's head golf coach, Renee Sloan. Renee, good afternoon. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing well.
Let me turn your mic on. That'd be good. It's good for a start. There we go. All right. So sorry about that, but it's just good to have you in studio, and you guys are off to a good start this year. And it's just, you know, the men seem probably overshadowed you guys sometimes, but you know, just what is it? How does it feel to get off to a good start? You guys are ranked as well.
Thank you. Yes, we have gotten off to a great start here in the fall season. Just came out of the gate strong, won the very first event, and kept building from there. And so it's been a lot of fun this year to work with the team. Great attitudes and just a lot of energy, and that has been a key aspect to our success.
How much do the two teams interact, the men's and women's team, in terms of just – obviously you get the same facility you share, which is a fantastic facility and unlike anything in the area, but how much do you guys kind of interact, work together, and especially with the coaches' staff?
Well, with the practice facility, obviously we see each other quite a bit. I mean, today, case in point, so our practices do overlap a little bit, but obviously we have our own separate tournament schedules, and a lot of times we're traveling one weekend and they're home, and then vice versa. So during the actual tournament portion of the season, we may only see each other a couple of days during the week when we're here on campus practicing.
Well, tell us about your team. Who's your leader? I can't pronounce the name.
Who's our leader? That's a good question. We have seven members of the team this year, and we've kind of nicknamed them Seven Strong. And as far as leadership goes, we encourage every team member to step up and lead in her own special way. Every player has different strengths, and so we want to utilize those and maximize those to their fullest. And so we really encourage everyone to step up.
Okay, but when you line them up, you have to put somebody number one.
Yes.
On the men's side, Dylan Meyer's number one. You know, okay, who do you put number one?
Who do we put number one? That has changed week to week.
Okay, good.
That is a good thing. It's been a very highly competitive team, and I think that has really enabled them to continue to raise the bar tournament after tournament. So it's every tournament we tee it up, someone else has led the team in each outing, and so that's a good problem to have.
Have you been engaged in any match play? Has it all been medal?
So far this year, it has all been medal.
And where have you been playing, and where are you going?
We started off the season in Knoxville, Tennessee, and then following that event, we went out to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, which was a pretty neat experience.
What was the weather like out there?
Cool in the mornings, but beautiful. Beautiful throughout
the day. How far
is
this from Boise?
From Boise, it's
a ways. So you're north?
It's a ways. So,
in the mountains?
Yes. I mean, it was spectacular. And they've got a floating green there on
a
one of their par
green.
Threes. Yes.
Wow.
It can actually be moved.
Really? How?
Yes. It's quite an elaborate system that they have. It only gets moved a couple times a year, obviously.
So it's not a moving target when they're teeing off.
No, not when they're teeing off. But they actually take a little boat out to the green then to finish out the hole and then come back. And
take a boat?
Yes.
How many golf courses are like that in the country?
Nice.
In the world, really?
This is a very unique place. Yes, it was a great tournament. Just from the experience, part of the country the team members had never been to before and likely wouldn't necessarily go to on their own. Then the next tournament was in Lexington, hosted by Kentucky, followed by Louisville. And then we went to the Atlanta Athletic Club to finish out the fall season.
Well, I believe you ranked 14th in the country.
Yes.
That's correct. How long has it been since you guys have been ranked that high?
It's been a number of years. Yeah. So, yes, it's an exciting start to the fall season there. And we're excited for the spring and continuing to build off this momentum.
How much is this the confidence? The players obviously see the ranking and they obviously are aware of the good start. How much is the confidence? What's that level at right now for your team?
Confidence level is strong. The ranking is nice. It's certainly not something that we focus on. It's more about continuing to improve day in and day out. And we know what the end goal is. And so we're focused on the process to get there and doing the little things day in and day out to get there.
How much does the indoor facility help in the winter?
Huge. It is such a tremendous resource for us.
How close is the chipping and putting to actually being outside on real grass?
It's realistic. And the ball spins and you get immediate feedback. If you don't hit it quite solid, you will know immediately. So it has been a huge asset for us. And letting the players, develop their games, continue that improvement process, and really build confidence so they feel prepared and ready for the start of the spring season.
Now, Mike Small can compete with some of his players. Can
yes.
do you do that still? Can you beat him?
I do not play very often myself right now, but we'll have some short game challenges and putting contests every now and then, and so I'm right there in the thick of things.
You play much in the summer?
No, not really. No, I'm on the road recruiting quite a bit, and when I'm not, then it's a lot of family time, so that keeps me busy.
Well, golf takes a lot of time, doesn't it?
It does. It does indeed.
Illini Women's Golf Coach Renee Sloan joining us on Sports Talk here on a Wednesday. Mike's probably not listening right now. If you two went and played a round, who wins?
Oh, goodness. Mike wins,
yes. What a politically correct answer.
No.
Have you guys ever played a round just for the heck of it?
Not together. I'm trying to think. We may have played in the same tournament together, believe it or not. Maybe. I'm not sure about that. Back in the day, I played in the Illinois Open. And so I was the first female to do that. So it was a field full of men.
Oh, really?
Yes.
In the men's Open?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How'd you do?
I made the cut. Okay. So, yes, that was that was an accomplishment because sure. You know, I was playing the same tees mm-hmm. as the men. And there were a couple of holes. It was a struggle for me
how
to reach
far,
the fairway.
How far are the members of your team, how far are they hitting it off the tee?
They average anywhere between 225 to 260.
260 mm-hmm. is good.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Well, Renee, you guys got a fundraiser this weekend, Sunday afternoon after the basketball game.
Yes.
So get the fans after that. It's at 4:30 at the Urbana Country Club. Tell us a little bit about that and the reason for that event and what fans could, how can they get tickets and things
sure.
like that.
Sure. It's our annual mid-season celebration, and this event kind of came out of the fact that we don't necessarily have a end-of-year formal banquet for the team just because of when the end of year occurs for us and everything else that's going on. So this is a way for our alumni, supporters in the community to connect with the team, really interact with them, and an opportunity for us to celebrate our senior members of the team and celebrate the success that we've had so far to date during the season. And it's a nice send-off to kick off the spring season.
I got one more question that kind of bugs me. When you look at the Pro Tour scores, mm-hmm. it's overwhelmingly Asian. What's going on? Explain that to me.
It kind of started with Si Rae Park, and she exploded onto the scene and had an enormous amount of success. And she is a role model and a hero to the Asian players, and they saw the success that she enjoyed and the work ethic, perseverance and determination that they have. And, you know, they have some amazing programs over there that the countries support the student athletes.
Well, again, the mid-season celebration hosted by Illinois Women's Golf is on Sunday at the Urbana Country Club from 4:30 to 6:30. Heavy hors d'oeuvres, drinks, and entertainment. Cost is $25 per person. A silent auction with special golf experiences, exclusive items, and more. What are some golf experiences? Can you let us know what some of those are?
Oh, sure. There's club fitting,
okay.
a personal
awesome.
Club fitting by Club Champion. Four rounds of golf down at Sarasota National in Florida. We've got a football suite package available for an Illini home game next fall. So pretty exciting there. An official Illinois women's golf team bag as well.
Okay. Oh, wow. Lauren's going to get one of those.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, we appreciate your time this evening. Thanks so much, and good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yep. That's Illini women's golf coach Renee Sloan. Come back and wrap up Sports Talk here on a Wednesday. Get ready for Fighting Illini game day coming up at 6.
This is Brian Barnhart. Join me on Penny for your thoughts on Thursday in open line at 9 and 10. At 10:30, it's Busey Money Talk on Penny for your thoughts Thursday on DWS.
Welcome back to Sports Talk on a Wednesday. I'm Michael Kaiser. He's Lauren Tate. Thanks so much for joining us. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, Fighting Illini game day as we get you ready for Illinois and Indiana. The Illini trying to sweep the season series from the Hoosiers. Illinois won 73-71 in the first matchup. Can Illinois get a road win? Something the Illini have not done this season. Got the neutral site win against the Missouri Tigers, which really, Lauren, if Illinois would have had a better season, that win looks better and better all the time. And Missouri's playing well. They've got a good stretch of late. And if those two teams played right now, no. Illinois just have no chance to win that game. It's the level of confidence is on two different levels. Missouri's playing a lot better. They're winning games coming from behind, and Illinois is just finding ways to lose. Unless you disagree. I don't disagree.
I think that Missouri would win if they played again, but there was something about that game that I felt at the time that Illinois had a chance. And, well, it was a time when Illinois was losing, you know, had lost some really close games in their first two Big Ten games. And it was at a time when Illinois was playing better.
Well,
clearly.
Illinois could have been 2-0 in Big Ten play to start the conference season, and that just
mm-hmm.
didn't happen. So.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for Kedrick Prince for joining the show today of Illinois Rivals and Illini Women's Golf Coach Renee Sloan. Most of all, thanks for listening. Stay with us. Coming up next, Fighting Illini Game Day. Then come up at Brian and Dion will join you from Bloomington, Indiana. That's all coming up. Plenty of Illini basketball coverage the rest of the night here on News Talk 1400 DWS.